Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and we are gathered here today to remember and give thanks to God for the life of Laura Hake, who was a beloved mother and grandmother and great-grandmother and a pillar of this community and this congregation. And on Friday, when the Lord called her home, she was the oldest member of this congregation at 105 years old. So we give thanks to God for that today. And today, everything that you will need for the worship service is in this pink bulletin. Hopefully, you got one of those on your way into the sanctuary today. We gather today as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as we mourn, we don't mourn as those who have no hope, but we gather in the hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And that will be the theme of our worship today. And so we begin with our opening hymn. It's number 748, I'm But a Stranger Here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Laura was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Service continues now as we recite the words of the 23rd Psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Laura and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
The Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a rich feast of food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And the epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noising gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and even if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know it in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Please stand. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our holy gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This time we now join together in speaking the words of our faith, the same faith that Laura shared with us. And today we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn is Beautiful Savior. It's number 537. To the family and friends of Laura Hake, to those of you who are gathered here today to celebrate her long and blessed life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, and especially to you, Dean and Larry, Roy and Judy, Laura's beloved children, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 105 years ago, this world looked a whole lot different than it does today. The world that Laura Hake was born into in the year 1916 is a world that the rest of us really don't know about other than our history lessons, right? It's a world where Woodrow Wilson was still president, a world where the United States was still 9 months shy of entering into the First World War. It's a world where you're still decades away from the invention of television and the internet wasn't even a dream yet. And when we have an opportunity to look at photographs from that era, those years when Laura was growing up, and there's actually a few of those photographs over there in the overflow room, what we really see is just a glimpse. You know, we can kind of imagine what that world was like, but that glimpse comes to us usually in black and white. Laura got to see that world in color. From the moment that she first opened her eyes as a newborn baby on July 8th, 1916, it's so amazing when you really think about that. All the ways that she saw this world change in those years, and all the different people from all the different generations that came in and out of her life during those times. For me, by the time I met Laura in 2016, she had already turned 100 years old. In fact, I remember one of the first things that I ever got to do as a pastor here at Trinity Hoyleton was when the Altar Guild asked me on the very first Sunday after my installation to dedicate some altar cloths that had been given in honor of Laura's 100th birthday. So I had this opportunity right away to meet this amazing woman, to see how she just loved being here in church. She loved being here with everybody. She had this big smile on her face. I remember a couple times I would be in the back in the narthex and I'd be greeting people on their way out of church, and she'd come up to me, you know, and she had that smile, you know, and I'd say, "Laura, how's it going? Nice to see you." And I'm expecting to hear some really great words of wisdom, you know. She'd pull me close, and she'd say, "Pastor, I can't hear a thing." She was so honest. It was awesome. As I stand before all of you today, now that the Lord has called Laura home, I know that the almost 5 years that I got to know her really are very brief in comparison to the time that many of you got to spend with her, and certainly very brief in comparison to the course of her entire earthly life, right? 5 years out of 105 years is really just a glimpse. It's just a snapshot of who she really was. So for me, when I think about all of the visits that we had, the conversations that we had, it's almost like it's like looking at black and white photographs if I'm trying to really picture the woman that Laura was most of her life. I could listen to her stories, and she told some great stories about all the things that she did in the past with Elder and her children and grandchildren. I can kind of imagine what she would have been like 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. But I never got to personally witness the Laura who was the master quilter with all of those ribbons from the Oakville Wheat Festival. You know, I never got to experience Laura as the famous cook that everybody talked about. But you all did. Most of you did. So for me, it's like I'm looking at black and white photographs, but you got to see Laura in color with your own two eyes. A few moments ago, Pastor Gray was so gracious in coming up to read the first two scripture passages today. And the second one that we heard from 1 Corinthians 13 is probably not what you expected to hear at a funeral service. And these are famous words. It's a famous chapter in the Bible, but the words that Paul uses here are words that we normally associate with a wedding, not with a funeral, mostly because it talks about what true love in Christ really looks like. Love is patient, love is kind, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. But in the second half of the reading, Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, makes a really interesting point. He basically says that all of these earthly things will one day pass away, but that true love in Christ is the one thing that will always remain. So all of those other things, even things that have been here for a long, long, long time, will one day pass away, but that love of Christ will remain forever. Verse 8 says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. God's love is the one thing that can truly outlast all of those earthly things, all of our earthly lives. Yes, even those of us who are blessed to be here for over a century. I got to tell you, there were times when I would look at Laura and I would think, she's so healthy. She's going to live forever. And I would ask her, I would go to Heritage Woods and I would visit her and I'd say, Laura, how are you feeling today? And she would always say this. She'd say, Pastor, I'm so lucky. She'd say, I feel so good. If I had to go to a doctor, I don't even know who I would go to see. I'd say, Laura, that's because you've outlived all of your doctors. But you know, it's even the luckiest, or we should say the most blessed amongst us, we know that eventually we will all pass away. Now, if that were the end of the story, if that's all we had to talk about today, then we wouldn't really have any reason to hope on a day like today. But as Christians gathering together, we know that Paul's words here are absolutely true. That God's love in Christ is eternal even when everything else fails. Even the good things. So when you think about all of the good things you've been given here on earth, maybe it's good health, good friends, a loving family, you name it. All of those things are just glimpses when we're talking about God's love. All of those things are kind of like looking at the world in black and white. But when we are welcomed into heaven, as Laura, thanks be to God, has been welcomed into heaven, that's when we get to see everything in color. That's why Paul says in verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I've been talking about looking at these old photographs, and you know, from what I could tell, that was one of Laura's favorite things to do, look at pictures. Any of you who had an opportunity to actually see what her apartment at Heritage Woods looked like, you know she had pictures everywhere. She had pictures on all the tables, she had pictures all along the wall, floor to ceiling on her bedroom door, just pictures. Pictures of family, smiling faces of the people she loves. And that was really, really great because I think a lot of us know that her memory is not what it used to be toward the end. So to be able to remember everybody and to see those pictures was such a great thing for her. And I remember there were times I would go over there and she would have, you know, like maybe a stack of photographs right there on the table, and she always wanted to show me the pictures that she had been looking at. So, you know, it seemed like she always had maybe a little story or just something to say about every single one of these pictures. And she would tell me about it, and then she would take that top photo and she would put it in the back of the stack, and then she'd tell me about the next one, put the next one in the back of the stack. But remember, I told you, her memory is not what it used to be, right? So when that first picture came back to the top, she didn't remember that she had already showed me that one. So it's like every single time, we went through maybe five or six pictures like over and over and over again, and every time she saw them, it was like it was brand new to her. It was really cool. And those pictures brought back such wonderful memories and a lot of joy for her. But of course, you don't get to live over a century in this broken world without also having experiences of pain and sadness mixed in with that joy. So there were times when she would look at the pictures in her room and it would remind her of something difficult that she had gone through. There was this one picture she had, just a little framed picture of herself as a young woman. Actually, there's kind of like a blown up version of it over there in the side room. And she told me once that she had that picture made so that she could give it to Elder. And that was, you know, like a joyful thing that she could tell me. But then she would remember how much she missed Elder and how much she missed all the times that they had together. She would look up at the wall. She would see a picture of Betty. But then, of course, she would remember the pain and the suffering that Betty went through and that she went through as a mother watching her go through that, right? And there were other things like that that we would talk about. But the point being that on this side of heaven, those pictures of our life, those even joyful memories, a lot of them become kind of cloudy, kind of faded because of the things that sin does to us in this life, the effects of sin and death on the entire world. But again, we remember those words here of St. Paul. Everything that belongs to this world will pass away. It's not just limited to prophecies and tongues and knowledge. Our God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die on the cross, to take away our sin, so that all of the things that cause us pain and cause us suffering would also pass away. Sin will pass away. Death itself will pass away. And that means that the mourning that we feel, the feelings of loss whenever someone that we love is taken away from us, that passes away too. Because our God has had mercy and compassion on us, because he loves us with that love that never ends, he has sent his Son Jesus to clear up all the things that are cloudy and to bring color to our world that so often is just black and white. Today we have a glimpse, a picture, an idea of what life will be like for us in heaven. But the day is coming soon, and thanks be to God that day came on Friday for Laura, when we will see our Lord face to face in glory. We will experience the fullness of God's love in a way that we can't even imagine right now. And the best part is that it will last a whole lot longer than just 105 years. On that day, we will praise the Lord with Laura and the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven, when the picture that we hope for now becomes a heavenly reality forever and ever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Laura Hake and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Laura and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. At this time, I'll invite the congregation to be seated, and I will invite Pastor Gray to come back up here to the lectern. He has some words of remembrance he'd like to share with all of you.
Having known Laura for about 35 years, she was a person of faith in Jesus Christ, her Savior. You know that she was never shy about telling you what she thought. What she said and thought is what she meant. Elder and Laura would want you to know, and their church family, and their family here on earth, how much God has done for her in her life. Her and her husband's belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what sustained her through many times, and some of those, as you well know, were tragedies in her life. God gave to the two of them the ability not to become angry and bitter over what God was doing in their lives, but to become more loving and caring. The two of them would want you to know that they would like for you to hold on to that same faith that sustained them through their life. Not because, as Laura would say, I told you so, but because they wanted you to join them in heaven one day. They would not call attention to themselves about how educated or how rich they were, because they would call attention to you and to Christ. So as they passed that faith on to you, their family especially, they did not mince words about saying what they wanted to share with you. I saw that the last time that I visited Laura a couple years ago in the nursing home. And as I walked in the door, and this is after like 5 years of seeing me, she yells, Pastor Gray, what are you doing here? That was Laura. When she left church in Carbondale on Sunday morning, she was much nicer to you, Pastor Nate, in saying that she enjoyed the service. She said to me, I enjoyed your service, but, and I can't repeat the words, but you can talk to me afterward and I'll tell you what she said. What a gift God gave to Laura Haake. And given that love, the love of Christ that had been given to her, she gave to each of you. She could be a blessing to you because Jesus had been a blessing to her. May God enable each of us to hold on to that faith until the day we meet her and Jesus face to face in heaven. God keep you in his love and care. That message is really from Laura. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. We will now close with our closing hymn, which is Abide With Me, number 878.